Jingles.
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for March 31st, 2016. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. We've got four wonderful new songs from the Tony Kornheiser Show and TKJingles.com to share with you today. We'll follow that with a featured segment on Howard Fineman. We will ask the musical question, who is the sheep? We'll play a grab bag of eclectic tunes. But first, we have to address the elephant in the room.
Goodbye, RG3, that was an unprecedented fall. You're still great at selling sandwiches, but not so good at football. We all hoped it would work when they gave up 30 picks in a trade to get the star from Baylor, the one with the trademark name. And your rookie year, you were so great for Shannon and his kid, and you turned all your critics into unbridled optimists. But they finally had to bench you because you never win. And you might get another chance to play, but not from Jay Gruden. Yes, they finally had to bench you, oh, Robert Griffin. And you might figure it out one day, just not for the Redskins.
Jingle Karma's gonna get you, gonna kick you right in the teeth. I made fun of Robert Griffin, now he's signed with my team.
What on earth was I thinking of? How could I have been so dumb? What on earth was I trying to do? Now the Browns are screwed. Well, what else is new? Why did they sign him? So the team has lived, 'cause they never win. No, they never win. Never win, never win.
Jingle Karma's gonna get you.
Oh, yes. Robert Griffin has signed with the Cleveland Browns, my hometown football team. And I always worried that after I did Goodbye RG3, that he was going to turn it around and have a Hall of Fame career with the Redskins, and I would look like a fool. Instead, now he has continued to flounder and moved on to join the most floundering, miserable team in the NFL, and sadly the team that I root for, the Cleveland Browns. So I'm sure the saga will continue, much like Star Wars, and we will have many, many more chapters and wonderful songs and moments to share over the next few years as Robert Griffin plays out his two-year contract with the Cleveland Browns. Now, I would love if he does well, but history shows that if you take an immovable object and an unstoppable force, these two things are not going to play well together. So, quick update, TK Jingles Live 2016, Even Liver. We are getting close to selecting the venue, so stay tuned to this podcast for details. Mark is tentatively working out an agreement with one place, Saturday, June 25th, 2016. And right now, it just comes down to the timing and the location and how it's all going to work out for everybody. So hopefully we get that settled this week, and I can share details in this podcast. And to those of you who back the Kickstarter, so you can reserve your spots and come join us in D.C. and or Rockville this summer. So first, four new songs. He's droning on, a wonderful parody of It's Raining Men by KJ, featuring some wonderful theatric dialogue here. Dylan, who's always reliable for a laugh, with a parody of Danny and the Juniors at the Hop with At the Palm. Bill Bardo and Joe Arrow, two frequent collaborators with Killer Queen. And then Steve Lipton, with Don't Ask Mr. Tony Questions.
Hi. Tone's dear friend Nancy here. And man, is he at it again. Thank God George brought some bacon. Get ready, all you littles, because Tony is in a mood today.
He started it already.
Again.
Not 2 minutes into the show. Perseverating Fauci.
What, again?
And hogs the microphone. And now he's got a new fear.
Catching Zika from a chicken. It's time for sterile poultry. Load them up on your erythromycin. He's droning on like a fool. Yeah, he's droning on. Come on, man.
I'd rather listen to Kevin screwing up the news.
I'll go to Broadway and watch Brigadoon.
He's droning on like a fool. Yeah, he's droning on. Here he goes again.
Line, beat that dead horse.
They're gonna plow his golf ball right off of the court.
He's droning on.
You can drink a glass of wine with your socialite friend at the pump. It's a 10-minute walk or an hour via Uber to the pump. If it's raining when you go, call your son so he knows at the pump. Let's go to the pump. Let's go to the pump. You love that chicken parm. You'll probably take some home. Maureen, get me a table at the pump. You can slip a couple 20s to Tommy Giacomo at the pump. You can get your mail delivered and it might include a gift card to the pump. They're good about making sure the foods aren't touching at the pump. Let's go to the pump. Let's go to the pump. You love that chicken parm. You'll probably take some home.
He keeps his Johnny Walker in his liquor cabinet. Let them report. He says, I'll go write a column at Esau. Well, you see, he went to school with Kennedy. You can't make an invitation that he won't decline. Eating crackers at the sink. Radio show, it really stinks. Cantankerous and not nice.
Well, he's Mr. Tony.
A fat, bald, and orange guy. Stay up late, he won't even try. Guaranteed in bed by nine.
Every night.
He recommends the chicken palm. He doesn't have a lot of charm.
Hates to fly.
Well, it's true, Tom loves money and he loves his Cadillac car. He likes Johnny Walker, blue whiskey, and getting his mail at the pump. But when Matt Kelleher's on vacation and Nigel has to fill that time, he better come up with something better than asking Mr. Tony next time. So don't ask Mr. Tony questions, and he won't continue to whine. Let's end this stupid segment, and he won't tell Nigel goodbye. So don't ask Corn how the questions, and he won't send Nigel away. If you want to fix his iPhone, well, I guess that'll be okay.
No, Mr. Kornheiser, just enter in your password. Just enter in the password. Again, what was your favorite teacher in elementary school?
You know, it's funny. I often rail about these jingles being too long and trying to keep it tight in that 45-to-1-minute mark. But that Killer Queen jingle there by Bill Bardo and Joe Arrow, I didn't want that to end. That was too short. It was only a minute long. It was so pleasant. I wanted to hear the whole thing. You know, a few weeks ago, I had the 100th episode Sprectracular, the culmination of the last 2 years of work with all these great guest stars and stuff. And I started planting seeds for that about 5 to 6 weeks ahead of time, asking folks to contribute little asides and working with the various talent to put together that silly intro jingle and the movie announcer guy and all that stuff. And it took a long time to put together. And so I was pleasantly surprised when this past Tuesday, I got an email from Howard Fineman saying, "Hey, I'm so glad to be a part of your 100th episode. Here's the audio clip I owe you." And I'm so grateful that Howard responded, and I wanted to include it, although every time I contact Howard, I must obviously not be using the right channels because it's always via direct message on Twitter. It takes about 2 to 3 months to get a response, and it's always really nice and supportive and polite, and it's great, but it's just so damn funny that it takes that long. And then, you'll see. Howard really gave what I consider the perfect clip, kind of what I was expecting everybody to do. So I wanted to now play that, and then in appreciation for how much I enjoy Howard Fineman on Tony's show, I wanted to then play a couple of songs about Howard. So we'll start with the Intergalactic Howard Fineman cover by Luke Overbay of the classic Jason Fuse Beast Boys collaboration, and then we'll play Howard's clip and a few classic jingles about the intergalactic editor of the Huffington Post.
Transglobal Emperor of the Huffington Post. Ariana is boss, but he's political pope. On anything governmental, he's so dope. If you really want to see him, you need a telescope. And when I say telescope, I mean Hubble. Presidents interviewed more than a couple. Like a policy bias, he'll burst your bubble. Step to him and you'll be in trouble. On big time shows, he's been a panelist. Honored by the society of pro journalists. But much more important than all of this, he's the father of celebrity internet. His progeny knows civics better than you, son. He even knows he's gonna win the next election. Ask him for knowledge and drop a metric ton. He's intergalactic Howard Fineman.
Medical mention, a medical mention, a medical mention, a medical mention. Intergalactic Howard Fineman, Howard Fineman, intergalactic. Intergalactic
Howard Fineman, Howard Fineman, intergalactic. Medical mention, a medical mention, a medical mention. Hi, this is Howard Fineman, global editorial director of the Huffington Post. Intergalactic editorial director of the Tony Kornheiser Show and fan of Jerry Negrelli. Congratulations, Jerry, on your 100th song episode. You're the best.
Well, I came upon a child of God from the confluence of three rivers, where he grew up on Clemente and Mazeroski. By the time he got to Woodstock, he was half a million miles high. And now he's got Obama on his speed dial. He was Newsweek, now he's Huffpo, and he's MSNBC. And I've got to smoke a joint with Howard Fineman.
Mailbag.
I turn on the TV, talking heads each day. So what does Howard Fineman say? Terrifying, things growing worse so fast. Islamic State lunatics and coughing Africans in business class. Cause it's time to talk to Howard Fineman about news and perhaps.
intergalactic editor of the Huffington Post. But you know it's his folk era that we love the most. From Tony's Show to Hardball, Howard's Political Poke. But when he gets on bass or 12 string, man, he sure is dope. Oh, Howard in a Galactic Fine Man lives in D.C. Politics and guitar licks, all part of his pastiche. Howard in a Galactic Fine Man lives in D.C. He'll break it down, whether you're talking about baselines or policy. At the confluence of the three rivers, he formed his band, the Classics. They all came in with Dylan, convinced him to go electric. And I've heard they certainly were much better than Steely Dan. The bat mitzvah of Mark Lister's sister was like the Beatles on Sullivan. Oh, Howard in a Galactic Fine Man lives in D.C. The Cadillacs, now where they at? Not pro-journalist on the reeds. Howard in a Galactic Fine Man lives in D.C. As a journalist, he just can't miss, but you should hear his harmonies.
It is with great sincerity that I say thank you, Howard, for congratulating me on the 100th song episode. That really was wonderful and everything that I had hoped for. And those were some wonderful songs there by Slim Hampton and, of course, Jason Fuse. Now, I feel guilty. I need to do some Howard Fineman songs because I think that's one of the few people that I really have never sung about, despite how nice Howard always is to me on the show. I wanted to play a clip now. There was a wonderful moment where Tony finally revealed that he has a dog. Now, he's mentioned this before, but he's never talked about it. He's never given the name. So all the Chessie jingles, all that stuff, that was really based on Gary Braun and Tony's son Michael, who's on Twitter, sharing details about Chessie the dog. So I want to play a clip of Tony talking about his dog and then two of the songs that were immediately inspired by that clip by Brad Weiss and Jason Fuse.
So let me talk about the dog. I don't think I've talked about the dog.
You have not on the air.
She's a herding dog. And you can tell she's a herding dog. Do you know how shepherd dogs herd sheep? Because that's what they're famous for. That's hence shepherd. Do you know their moves? They have two moves.
I know one of their moves.
Go ahead. What?
Don't they nip at the
they
back?
Bite. Right. At the legs.
Yeah, at the
they
back.
They bite
like
at
ankles.
The legs of sheep. So... the game that is played in my house is clearly this game. Who is the sheep? Let's identify the sheep. If I am out with this dog at any point, the dog is constantly running around me and biting me, going through, not yet my skin, going through my clothing, going through
those
my jeans.
Razor
going
puppy teeth, those great
yes,
white puppy teeth.
Going through my jacket, going through my jeans, biting me constantly. So my task in life is to get another sheep that the dog will herd and not me.
Just,
I need to be the alpha, and I need a sheep.
When I wake up early in the morning, she don't mind. I take her walking, herds me in the middle of the street. She's no hound with floppy ears.
Floppy.
Please don't nip me, soon you'll trip me. God, those paws are huge. Guess I'm the sheep. Leaping fences in a single bound. Soon she'll weigh 200 pounds. Bites me through my jackets and my jeans. Rakes her claws across my cheeks.
Across my cheeks.
Please don't wait to poop. That's my house too. I just can't win, 'cause I'm the sheep.
I adopted a dog. She's got mitts like a wire, jumps like Cunningham's daughter, almost gouged out my eye. I explained to the dog, she can poop in the neighbor's yard. This dog thinks I'm stupid. I'm so f***ing stupid, 'cause I'm the sheep. I'm scabbing over, I'm getting way too old for this. I've got mangy ankles. Whoa, I'm the sheep, and she's the shepherd. Yeah, the shepherds herd the sheep. Everything I say is obvious.
The continuing saga of Chessie and the sheep is just wonderful, and that continues every day almost on Old Guy Radio. You know, earlier we played some songs about Howard Fineman, the political guest on the show that we all love. There's another guest who talks politics that we don't talk about nearly as much. And when this past week he was on quite a bit. And you know, sometimes when someone you like likes something, you want to check it out and see if you like it too. But when somebody you don't necessarily like something, you kind of question your own judgment. Right? Say, wait a minute. If you like this, then what's that say about me? So I was very pleased to hear that this particular person is good friends with Tom Sietsema, the food critic of the Washington Post, because Tom Sietsema is a frequent guest on WTOP, the number one station, if not in D.C., then the whole country. I mean, this is a ratings-crushing channel that Tony talks about all the time. And Sietsema, I can sum up his reviews like this, that he'll talk about a restaurant and say, oh, the service was divine, the food was exquisite, the dessert was magical, 1.5 stars. I don't know if that's a food critic thing, because I don't listen to a lot of food criticisms, but it's amazing because he will use the most flowery, positive language, and then at the very end, he will crush whatever he's reviewing. And so it drives Michelle crazy. She used to talk about Sietsema all the time. Now she just turns the radio off when he comes on because she wants to punch the radio. Because every time he comes on, it's super pretentious and flowery and whatever, and it's always a crushing review. I'm not sure we've ever heard a review where he liked it and it was positive. Like I almost assume like he would find something terrible and then give it 4 stars to be ironic or something. Just every restaurant he reviews gets crushed. And we listen to that station all the time, so I assume he's come on at some point and said something positive, but I haven't heard it. So anyway, seeing that somebody that I don't necessarily like is a huge fan of his, that was a validating moment. So when that person talks about Oasis and constantly brings up the Gallagher brothers, that always bothers me because, hey, I'm fans of those guys. Please don't bring those into the conversation. But you know, this guy, hey, that's wonderful. The fact that you and you guys are pals and hang out, that totally validates me. So I wanted to end the show here with a couple more songs, then we'll have a little story time after this. These songs, these next bits, represent some of the more diverse selections from tkjingles.com this past week. We have a parody of Minnie the Moocher about Barry's Veluga by Tyrone, and then a really avant-garde game show parody by Brian from Oak Hill. And Brian is always out there trying different random things. So just wanted to showcase this because I thought it was interesting and something very different. And then we'll end with the number one jingle of the week, the antibiotic song, Escape, that tragically bad pina colada song. And then we're going to have a little story time after all the music is over.
This is the story about Mary's Beluga. He went downtown to Nashon Beluga with news of the orchid and the torpedo. The only thing for certain is what Tony would say. Oh, I ask, where are we now?
Don't you know another question?
But it's all that I know how.
I can make a few suggestions.
Barry's friend is one Satchmo Kornheiser, a penguin dancing philosophizer. 2 hours a day he gives a piece of his mind, like he couldn't get his blurb appearing first on the grind. Hoity, 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 oh!
Yes, we know it's Tony's show.
Heedy, 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 heedy.
Two for him and one for me.
Barry, Barry.
Yes, it's Password. Now, here's your host on Password, Alan Ludden.
Welcome, welcome to the game show where celebrities give clues so partners can guess the password. James Carville, you go first with your partner Steve Jobs.
Measure, airplane, hands, Trump.
I'm sorry, time's up. It's your turn now, Courtney the Goddess, with your partner Tony Kornheiser. I've got it. I know it now. Is it sausage?
You did it.
Well done. And please join us tomorrow when Michael Phelps faces off against Nigel the Brit.
Long after the Super Bowl, before opening day, I never listen to sports shows, 'cause they've got nothing to say. But that never stops Tony, and every morning till noon, when he runs low on topics, he just talks about his food. If you like antibiotics in your food that doesn't touch, and if once a generation you head to Subway for lunch, if you get chicken parmigiana when everyone else has steak, this is the show you've been looking for, where every day is Thursday.
Just like this podcast, every day is Thursday. Nothing but the worst for all of you. So I wanted to end with a short story time here. So last weekend, for Easter weekend, my brother and I, he lives in Columbus, I live in Annandale, Virginia. We went back to Cleveland for the weekend to visit my family, and we went to a karaoke party at a restaurant that my dad likes to go to. And we went up there and did a few songs. I got Michelle to sing something with me, and the girls came up and sang. And then my brother, he never participates in this stuff. It just, he's not interested and doesn't like to show off or doesn't want to be part of it, just finds it ridiculous. But anyway, after an hour or two, we finally cajoled him into doing it. And the thing that finally was the tipping point was that as he was flipping through the music, he saw Josh Groban. And this song, You Raise Me Up, I vividly remember infomercials about this stupid song, and we used to laugh at this a lot a long time ago when the song came out, because if the song was really so good, I didn't understand why there were TV commercials advertising the CD. It just was so weird, like, call now and you can buy the CD. It was like some strange corporate Christian music product or something. Anyway, so we saw that, and we kind of laughed at Josh Groban. I said, well, Jeff, that for the crowd that we had, which was a rather rough around the edges, blue-collar crowd, this is the song that they will love. Like, you need to sing this song. He said, well, I'm not sure I even know it. I said, well, I think it's kind of the tune of Danny Boy, and you've heard the commercial so many times, I'm sure you know it. So he listened on his iPhone in his ear for a second and said, yeah, I think I can pick it out. So anyway, he went up there to sing Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up, in the most sarcastic, condescending way possible. I mean, he had the most, all these dramatic flourishes. He was leaning and twisting and raising his hands to the sky. And it was, you know, it was a, it just, he was showing pure disdain for the audience. But from the moment the song started, there were people behind me that I could hear quietly singing along to the opening lyrics. And I knew in that moment, yes, this was the right choice. This is going to kill. And sure enough, as it got to the chorus, it, the whole place, it, I mean, it got, first of all, people were talking at the beginning and then they got really quiet and they were all super focused on this You Raise Me Up performance. And then by the end, the crowd was going crazy. People were crying and came up to Jeff and gave him hugs. And then throughout the night, were coming up and saying, thank you so much. You touched me. You moved me. You made my day. It was absurd. And I was reminded of the Beastie Boys, who a long time ago wrote a parody song, Fight for Your Right to Party, making fun of all of the in-your-face rock and roll that was popular at the time in the 80s. And it was just meant to be a parody of that style, of that culture. And ironically, all of the D-bags that those guys were making fun of in the Beastie Boys loved that song. And it became a signature song for them at that time, and it sold a ton of records. And they stopped playing it live in like 86 or 87 or something just because it was a joke. It was sarcastic. They did it because they hate those people, and yet the people that they were mocking loved it. So why do I bring this up? Well, that's kind of what I'm doing for the next episode. The only explanation that I can possibly give you for what you're about to hear in the next episode, for the April 1st episode of the TK Jingles podcast, is that I must have pure disdain for my audience. And if you want to listen to it, go for it. But I think back to something that Stephen King said. So there was a series of books called The Dark Tower. It's a long series of fantasy novels that were published over about 30 years. And for the last chapter, Stephen King wrote a little author's note that said this is how he intended it to end. It was a really pleasant ending, but he didn't put a bow on it or resolve things the way that he knew that his readers probably wanted him to. You see, the whole point of this series was that there was this guy, Roland, who was trying to reach the Dark Tower, and in the final chapter, he still hadn't reached it. So Stephen King wrote this author's note at the end of the book, and he said, look, I know that my fans really want to know what happens when Roland reaches the Dark Tower. So there's one more chapter, and it's after this author's note. But, and Stephen King wrote, I warn you that, you know, I urge you, I warn you, do not read the next chapter, because honestly, it really, really does not matter. After 30 years of buildup, this isn't going to be some magical moment where it all makes sense or is fulfilling in some way. The chapter you just read is the way that I want it to end. But if you, as the constant reader, really are insistent that you have to know what happened when Roland reads reaches the Dark Tower, read on. And so I, Jerry Negrelli, like many other readers, did. And just as Stephen King warned, I was horribly disappointed. It was a terrible ending. So that is the warning that I leave you with this for this Friday, April 1st episode. Listen at your own risk, because as much as you may enjoy this broadcast, what is coming tomorrow, or probably in the next hour, because I'm going to record it now, but what's coming next is probably something that myself, Steve Lipton, Robert Berg, and Jason Fuse are going to enjoy, and everybody else is going to quickly reach for that unsubscribe button in their podcast software. Thank you for listening to the TK Jingles podcast. Come back here April 7th for some songs you'll enjoy. So easy, so easy, I am so